So you wouldn't even sacrifice a beard to survive the fire.
Never.
How are you guys?
Oh, I was chewing on a piece of cabbage when you called.
Piece of cabbage?
I had to move my jaws very fast to answer you.
Okay.
Wow.
Asya?
What I was doing?
Were you also chewing on a piece of cabbage?
I wish, actually. I am hungry, but I was not chewing anything. So I think I was... bringing some knowledge into this illiterate world.
How? Just what we do, me and Daniel, just seems so mundane right now.
It actually was so boring. I was giving an English lesson on Skype to children, which I hate.
That's lovely.
Well, because they never listen to you. You are telling them something and then you realize that they are not even at their computer. They went to the kitchen.
Chewing on something,
yeah. Or just saying, oh, sorry, I wanted to drink. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay. So that's why I...
That's their privilege.
That's their privilege and that's what I don't like. Mm. So what about you? How are you today?
Okay, it's finally that season of the year when I feel like going out. Yesterday, I went to see my friend, one of my friends, and we decided to meet in a cafe.
Was it Tatiana?
Yes, that was Tatiana.
Instagram.
Instagram, yes. So, you know, when I go out, it has to be some kind of a celebration, a festive occasion, because you have to dress up, you have to think of something something to do, you know, you have to have a proper book with yourself. So I decided to go there earlier, an hour earlier, so that I could sit with a cup of tea and a book and just to sit there in the sun because the weather was brilliant. And I was thinking about it and I thought, it's so sad. Actually, when you think about it, when you look at it from, you know, another person's point of view, it's...
I think it's really great. That's what I always wanted to do, just sit in a cafe with a book and hurry nowhere and enjoy some drink, not necessarily alcoholic one, and just looking at the strangers. I think this is really great, the so-called quality time for yourself.
We will have to do it more often when I'm in St. Petersburg, because I can't...
I think we will do it every day.
You were right, we are mundane.
You are.
What were you guys talking about? Sorry?
No.
Did you go to the kitchen?
No, I was trying to understand. You were talking about Mondays?
Mundane things?
No, Mondays suck. Sundays are great. On this Sunday, I was at a local club listening to local rock bands.
Wow. Did you drink anything?
Yes, I drank very bad beer. One glass of it, and I drank no more. Well, it was only 20% worth it, because I listened to 5 groups, and only one of them, not a local one, a Finnish one, was really cool. And the other guys, I just slept. I remember falling asleep.
It's
during...
nice, falling asleep during a rock concert.
Yeah. I think Sundays are spoiled by Mondays. The best one is Friday evening.
Yeah.
I suppose our lives are spoiled with work.
Actually, for me, everything is quite the same. When people say that I hate Mondays, I can't really understand it, because for me, Monday is just like another day.
Well, just remember when you had to...
Yeah, when I had a job.
Yeah, and I'm still recovering from that.
Yeah, I think have already erased all the memory from that period. I just try not to think about it.
I can't. It was such a painful experience for me. I'm still enjoying my life every morning when I wake up at, or at 11 and like, you guys are losers. I was once meeting my friends in a railway station. That was about 2 months ago. Her train was arriving in the morning at like at 7 or 6:45, something like that. So I had to go to metro quite early. That's the time when people usually on their way to work. And I saw their faces. They were so unhappy. They were not sleepy or, you know, they were not tired. They were genuinely very, very unhappy. And I was, I couldn't help smiling. I was smiling. I knew that I was not going to work. I was going to meet my friend and we were going to have a great time. So I was really happy, you know. I didn't
consume. You're a very bad person.
I just think that it's great not to be a part of the system.
You discourage me from ever having a job now.
See, Landish, we make the difference.
Yes, we will continue to do it. She is as hot as a woman can get. She even sleeps in a bathtub full of ice to cool herself down. Actually, she's so hot that I think it was her who caused the global warming in the first place. A sizzling hot host of Linguistov podcast from a relatively warm, for now, St. Petersburg, Asia.
Or should it be Asia?
I like to call her. I like to call you Asia. For example,
I was just comparing it to the part of the world. Which is quite hot. That's why.
Yeah. He classifies all people into two categories. Those who own a beard and those who either don't know what life is or are women. He personally has the potential to grow such a legendary beard. Our grandchildren and grand-grandchildren will read stories about it. The one and only Daniel.
Yay.
And I don't know, I forgot to write one for myself.
What were you doing yesterday in a cafe, I wonder?
I was just reading.
You were there an hour earlier. What were you doing there?
I was enjoying my time, was reading a book. When my friend came, you know, we talked about different stuff about our project. She is, if you know, she makes this handmade jewelry.
I'm really so happy for her. I think this proves one more time that you should always do what you like. You should never do what you don't like. And I remember how she started, and I checked on her profile in Contact, and I was like, well, another one. Mm-hmm. But then, sometime later, when I saw that handmade stuff which she made, and the number of followers, and how actually popular it became, mm-hmm. I was genuinely happy for her. And I think that you should always be true to yourself. And I only wish Tatiana good luck with your projects. I think this is a great idea, and it proves that you always have to follow your dream.
It is about North Korea again.
Ah, super.
I think we will soon have to start creating news about New Korea on North Korea. When they have nothing, you will have to think about it. We'll have to create it.
Okay.
Talks on the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula cannot begin owing to a dilemma. North Korea demands that it should be accepted as a member of the nuclear club, while the US insists that the regime abandon nuclear weapons development and tests. The United States are not planning to act as they did in 2005 when they proposed a denuclearization for aid program for North Korea. The Democratic Republic of Korea, in its turn, continues to threaten America and South Korea with war and nuclear strikes, given that North Korea, according to the Central Intelligence Agency reports, doesn't yet have the necessary technologies to equip its rockets with nuclear warheads. These threats sound almost ridiculous. However, no one would want to ridicule North Korea, as it has one of the largest armies in the world, albeit only in human perspective. Technologies and machines are underdeveloped. Even if Kim Jong-un counts as one nuclear missile or 20 helicopters or 50 tanks, North Korea's military potential is still dwarfed by that of the countries that could enter the conflict should it begin. In addition to that, yesterday I read that North Korea have begun to construct barricades against tanks along the border with South Korea. Yes, they seem to be preparing for real war, or they want us to think they are. I suppose that Kim Jong-un must understand that if America enters the conflict, there will be no tanks, no people. There will be, unmanned fighters, air fighters, which will bomb Pyongyang. And Kim Jong-un's personal bunker, if there is one.
Let's talk about sleep. If you are having trouble getting to sleep, the problem might not be in your head. In fact, it might be in your feet. Swiss researchers found that when we are on the cusp of falling asleep, our body redirects blood to our hands and feet. When these extremities are warm, their blood vessels can dilate and allow for greater blood flow, which of course aids in the redistribution of blood and helps you to get to sleep. So if you're having trouble nodding off, the solution could be as simple as throwing on a warm pair of socks. So do you have any trouble getting to sleep?
No, I have trouble getting out of sleep.
The same with me.
I think for me it differs. It depends every time. Because in our family, no one has problem with falling asleep, especially my brother. I think that he can fall asleep in any conditions. So even if he can lean to a certain surface, it does not have to be a horizontal surface. It can be a vertical surface. He can fall asleep.
How can you fall with a vertical surface?
No, he leans on it.
No, it was a joke.
I once fell asleep while riding a bicycle. Of course, for a very, very short period of time, for just a couple of seconds. But I realized that I was actually cycling and sleeping. So, and that's...
very tired.
I was very tired, and that's why now there is nothing more important in my life than sleep.
How many hours do you sleep?
I don't know. A lot, actually. I try to cut on them, but that actually influences my productivity. About 8 hours minimum. Nine. If I get less sleep, then I won't be working properly. So, but of course, under different conditions, I think I would just get adjust to getting less sleep.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Landish? How much do you sleep?
I try to sleep at least 7 hours, but I will annoy you with my habit of getting up very early in the morning.
No, you won't. You will introduce me to good habits.
But if you want, I can just wake you up every morning at 5 o'clock.
Yes, please, not 5, 6.
Okay, 6. Yeah, and we will listen to the birds and we will welcome the sun.
Yes.
Whatever people do in the morning.
Shamanistic, right?
Yes.
That would be interesting. That would be something new, because when I wake up, no birds are there. They're already all gone.
Oh, okay. You probably gave up. They're probably sitting in the window.
Yeah.
Just chirping.
Puffing.
Oh, yeah. When I was a child, I had this crazy friend I told you about, Lina.
The one we're recording the first podcast with?
Was she there? No, we talked about her.
Okay. Whatever.
Was there anyone who we recorded a podcast with?
I remember you were talking about one friend who you either played a radio with.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like the first podcasters.
Yeah, the first podcasters, correct. So when we were children, you know, we used to have sleepovers. Of course, we didn't sleep through the night. You just can't fall asleep when you have a sleepover. And it was very early in the morning. It was like 4 o'clock, maybe. No, 3 or 4 o'clock. Yeah, it was in summer. And we decided to go for a walk. It was quite dangerous because there were quite a lot of homeless men and some drunkards, because it was like Sunday or Saturday, I don't remember. And in order to, you know, if someone attacks, we have some weapons. We decided to take two knives.
Very, very, very friendly girls. Very nice.
Yeah.
Did anyone get hurt?
No. Unfortunately, there was no one who wanted to attack us. But
so you were hoping.
Well, we were hoping for some kind of adventure.
The knife stirred in your hand.
Yeah, I think that we ended up just cutting grass. So.
Why? It's not less cruel.
Yeah.
Rubbish on Earth causes great concern among people, but what about rubbish around Earth? Scientists begin to worry that the debris of spacecraft and small Michelinus particles can seriously inhibit space activity in the future. As we know, Earth moves with incredulous speed, and so does everything that orbits her. With such velocity, even a 1 centimeter object can bump into a spacecraft or an astronaut with effect equal to that of a hand grenade. Larger objects can shatter satellites since they are very fragile and cannot be fortified against such collisions. Now, still can be found places in the near space that are safe, but scientists and engineers have already brooded on this problem and seem to have found a solution to remove greater objects from the orbit with, as the video suggests, nets. However, the problem of lesser objects, like lost screwdrivers, astronaut's gloves, or simple rubbish, will most likely remain unsolved. I saw a video which showed that the amount of near-space rubbish has multiplied, is maybe 10 or 20 times as much rubbish as there was 50 or 60 years ago. And there were numbers, too, like hundreds of thousands 10-centimeters objects. And
How does it happen? I mean, I astronauts.
Why do the astronauts throw away?
Oh yeah.
Why can't they keep this rubbish in their spaceship? Yeah. Why do they have to throw it away? Or is it just a habit, like they got used to it while on Earth? Sorry, that was
not. Something is lost. Something is thrown away. I don't know how, but there is, according to the statistics, 170 million small particles, 1 centimeter particles, on the Earth's orbit. This is a great lot. I never imagined, and I'm afraid of the failure of the mission Mars One, of which Landish told us last week. This all could end in a disaster owing to a mere rubbish.
Yeah,
they have to get some kind of a special magnet, so that this magnet would attract all these particles, all this rubbish.
Or maybe a vacuum cleaner.
or a vacuum cleaner. Yeah.
Vacuum cleaner in
that,
a
that would
vacuum.
Even be better, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to vacuum everything. And then throw...
It will suck vacuum into vacuum.
What do you do with this rubbish?
Exception. Nothing can be done with small particles.
Where do you transport it? For example, you collected all the rubbish with a vacuum.
Here?
On Mars?
On Mars! We're going to pollute Mars! Yeah.
So the settlers will have what to do when they arrive. Yeah. They will be busy with rubbish and they won't have conflicts.
Very interesting. What else do they throw out into space?
A magnet wouldn't do because the majority of these particles are plastic.
Yeah, well, some special magnet which attracts plastic.
There is a terrifying image in my head. I pictured myself, then I am an astronaut, and For example, a hammer lost by another ostinate flies at me and I don't know what to do. And strikes me on the head and I lose consciousness.
But I was just thinking about this space tourism people have been talking about how popular it will be in the future. And I was just thinking that in case it happens, the number of waste will be multiplied as pretty much compared to, you know, this cruise liners, which have the same routes. And if you look underwater, you'll see a lot of garbage there underwater, which people keep on throwing when they are on this cruise liner, for example. So in case some kind of space route happens in future, there'll be a lot of space waste.
A fancy situation. You're an astronaut and you accidentally lost your hammer and you think, well, what do I do now? And there is another hammer.
That's very handy.
And the objects do not disappear with time, do they?
No, they are, held on the orbit by Earth's gravitation.
Not disintegrate.
For example, if we talking about hammers, hammers are made of iron, and the iron just gets rusted with time.
No, it doesn't, because there is no water in space.
Yeah, is it?
But maybe the there is something else in space, not water. Maybe something else.
No. If there was water in space, there would be life in space. Living organism.
Okay, well, it's just an example. I was just thinking maybe plastic, for example, with time it gets softer, maybe.
I think that for a certain thing to disintegrate, it has to have
some kind of chemical reaction.
Something, yeah. But if it's vacuum, so there are no actual.
So virtually there is nothing in space which could cause that chemical reaction.
Don't know.
Wow. So if I was instead of this object, I would never age. Is that what you're trying to say?
That's a very good question, actually. I don't know. Daniel, do you know anything about it?
No, it is too philosophical.
Yeah.
I think I should start considering flying around.
It's like a person has a wish. Does he want to be buried? So, but you want to be thrown out in the space.
Yeah, when I die, I want to be thrown out so that I can be just like a waste, like a space waste.
And you will never age.
And I would never age. I would remain the same because there won't be any chemical reactions, right?
Yeah, all right.
If I understand it correctly.
The position employees choose to take in a lift reflects their social standing, according to a study. A researcher said that a clear social order could be seen regarding where people position themselves and how they interact. During the research, more senior men in particular seemed to direct themselves towards the back of the elevator cabins. In front of them were younger men, and in front of them were women of all ages. Men watched the monitors, looked in the side mirrors to see themselves, and in the door mirrors to also watch others. Women would watch the monitors and avoid eye contact with other users and the mirrors. It was only when women traveled alone or with other women they would utilize the mirrors. I like when there are mirrors in the elevator. We don't have mirrors here in the Biznich, only in elevators. And when I lived in St. Petersburg, I lived on the 9th floor. We had a mirror in an elevator, and it was so great, so handy in the morning when you have to go out. So I liked it. But
do you know why they put mirrors in elevators on the first
floor? Yes, they advertise internet providers.
No, it really helped claustrophobic people.
Okay. I just saw the
and women, of course.
Yeah, and women, of course. That's very interesting.
What about when you're traveling together with someone
these.
Else?
What?
Okay, I'll be the first.
Yes.
My question was: you said that when you are in the elevator, you look in the mirror. But what about if you're traveling with someone else? Do you still look in the mirror, or do you pretend that
No, you can't look in the mirror when there's someone else. Especially, no, if it's a person that you don't know. If, of course, if someone you know, then you can look in the mirror. Yeah.
The State Duma is planning to allow short-range gun possession. The debates have on several occasions renewed for the last decade or two, and the current one is caused by the Belgorod incident, in which a man named Sergei Pomazun dispatched six people with a carbine. The State Duma members believe that civilians could have repelled his attack if they had had guns. However, gun experts say that a man who is not specially trained to use firearms isn't able to react fast enough to prevent a sudden attack. A law allowing gun possession, on the other hand, can generate numerous incidents which will most likely claim many more lives than the Belgorod one, or the likes of it. I wonder, is it in our nature, in the mentality of our people, to have guns always with them to protect themselves? Because, you know, in America there was a Wild West period when everybody had a gun, and in Russia there never was anything like that. So it's the case of mentality. And I suppose if they decide to introduce this bill, they will have to, well, set a referendum of kind. Because I wouldn't agree to gun possession.
I think it's really complicated to check. I think it's close to impossible to check the individual's psychiatrical and psychological state. Because he can seem to be normal, but in under certain circumstances he might lose control, and that will never be even predicted. So that's why I think gun possession in Russia should be out of the question.
And as it is known,
we have a lot of crazy people.
It's true.
But as it is known, self-defense in Russia is, well, a point of contradiction. Did you read a week or two ago about the incident in Moscow when a girl attacked with a traumatic gun?
Oh, in the metro.
And she was sentenced to several years.
How old was the girl?
In a colony. Oh, 20-something.
Why did she attack?
Oh, because some men, highwaymen maybe, even, they attacked her friends, and she attacked them in response.
So she was protecting her friends?
This, I believe, was the case, because she wasn't protecting herself, she was protecting someone else.
Mm.
So this is a loophole in a law, a drawback flaw. No, we are against guns. We are pacifists.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Linguistas are against guns. Make
social,
every voice count.
Pain.
There are three voices, three votes.
How many else do we have? 1,500?
We can ask people to write to us.
Well, we always do, but
they never do.
Maybe we should ask about it in the beginning of our podcast. Maybe they never finish.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Maybe they listen to the first 10, 20 minutes.
No.
And then they get into the metro and the sound is too noisy. They don't listen to the rest.
I found 10 bizarre ways to die.
Oh, I love such articles.
Yeah,
another 10.
Another 10. But I didn't. I'm not going to list all 10 of them. Just something that I liked. Death by a deodorant. In 1998, a 16-year-old boy in England passed away from a heart attack after being exposed to too many deodorant fumes. It seems that he was obsessed with personal hygiene and smelling fresh. So he'd spray his entire body with deodorant at least 2 times per day. Next one, death by hungry sheep. In 1999, a woman in England, found out that that sheep can have an aggressive side if they are hungry enough. Betty Stubbs was a farmer's wife and 67 years old at the time of her tragic encounter. She was taking a nice dinner of hay to the family's flock of sheep using a four-wheeled vehicle with a small trailer attached. The sheep were in the field overlooking a quarry. When Stubbs arrived with dinner, the hungry herd charged her and jumped onto the vehicle, knocking her off and into the quarry, causing the vehicle to crush her. There was also a person who got stuck in a storm drain trying to retrieve his stolen wallet, and he died in hospital.
Also in England?
Yes, I guess so.
It's such a tough country.
Yeah.
The next one is actually, it's one of my favorites. It also happens in England. I don't know why. It's a strange coincidence.
This is England, baby.
Yeah, it's very dangerous to live there. This one wasn't exactly caused by a... it was a death by a bra. This one wasn't exactly caused by a bra, but the woman's undergarment certainly didn't help the situation for two ladies in London, England, in 1999. These two friends were walking through Hyde Park one day when a bad thunderstorm came through. The pair was believed to have been seeking shelter under a large tree, a big mistake, when a massive bolt of lightning struck them both. Apparently, the metal wiring in the women's bras acted as conductors, though the coroner believes that they would have died even if they hadn't been wearing their underwear brassieres. Sadly, the women were both killed instantly and their bodies stayed there for 15 hours before anyone approached them. The official cause of death, as listed by a coroner, was misadventure.
Misadventure.
Yes.
Living in England kills you.
Yes. Killed by misadventure. And the last one, yeah, the one that I liked. Death by a beard.
Oh my!
Careful.
No,
Daniel, no. Don't listen to that.
We don't want to get you traumatized.
I'm going to go paranoid.
Yeah. So Hans Steininger's beard was 1 meter and 40 centimeters long, and he would keep it rolled up in a leather pouch, but failed to do so one day in 1567. A fire broke out in his hometown that day, and he reportedly tripped on his beard while trying to evacuate. There are conflicting reports as to whether Steininger broke his neck or perished in the fire, but either way, it was a very bizarre way to go. So.
Poor man. Yeah. Rest in peace.
Yeah. 1 meter and 40 centimeters long.
No more.
Yeah.
It wasn't magical at all.
It was quite predictable.
Yeah, he broke his leg.
They say that he either broke his neck.
A neck? Oh my, very, very tough beard.
Yeah. So it was I either death by breaking his neck, or he just perished in the fire. He couldn't evacuate in time.
He offended the beard by not.
Not rolling it yet.
Yes. A beard god was furious.
So he just forgot one day to roll his beard.
One day of life.
So be careful with your beard.
I wonder, would he cut his beard if he knew what was waiting for him?
Oh, well, I think it's a question to you, actually. Would you cut it if you knew? It's not for us to imagine having a beard. What would you do?
It's too difficult a question.
If you had a 1 meter and 40 centimeters long beard,
I would make a scarf around my neck and be done with it.
The Adventures of Kim Jong-un, the Brilliant Comrade, Part 7. And it's not very interesting, actually. Okay. Long, insufferable hours in the economy class, which makes you think about the state of economy in North Korea, resulted in passengers being released into the coolness of the airport halls and in a few moments into the hot, almost tangible humidity of the air of Washington, D.C. Mamma mia, thought to himself Kim Jong-un. Finally home, he wanted to say, but was able to stop himself in time not to. But still, it was hard for our supreme leader not to feel pangs of nostalgia and remember the times when he visited the United States before. The first time They went there undercover. Kim, his parents, and his brother. The supreme leader was such a beautiful and radiant child. People on the street stopped to look at him and even followed him. Even then, he showed signs of greatness and godlike appearance. Of course, the only thing his brother wanted to see was Disneyland. But Kim was different. He was fascinated with the lights, the rhythm of life, the skyscrapers of New York, pristineness of the streets in Washington, D.C., the architecture of Boston, and most of all, people all over America. How relaxed they were, how white their teeth were, how casual were their smiles and laughter. Oh, I hate our folks in North Korea, he thought. Gloomy faces that look the same hairstyles, the same clothes. Daddy, you're freaking wrong. Suddenly it dawned on him. He felt a desire to bring some change into his country and its people, to make a difference, not to be a boring continuation of his father. But that bastard would burn down the hell itself just to get back at him if Kim made any move in the direction of loosening up a little bit. He knew his father too damn well. Even after death, he was there, controlling, checking, and correcting. Maybe I could change it, he thought. Maybe that's what my mission in this world is. Well, what do I want? I want an occasional steak with French fries, television that provides you with good quality entertainment, and I want to play basketball. That is pretty much all. These thoughts were good thoughts that would probably lead to major changes, or maybe not. But they were interrupted by a delicious smell of Kim's favorite burgers. Yes, Kim Jong-un thought, I'm going to post it in Instagram, and went to get his thoroughly American burgers. To be continued. In Facebook, there was a page, Kim Jong-un's hair.
Did they genetically engineer it?
They don't have any history of this. I think that we have to write it. I will probably write it and post it there.
Yeah. That you will make a great contribution.
I know. But it still has more likes than our page does. Our page actually has like 21 likes already.
You mean in Facebook?
In Facebook, yeah.
Oh. Way to go.
Yeah, I know.
But, well.
Well, it's something.
Yeah, it's something.
Better than nothing.
Yeah.
Will something be said for these 21 people?
Oh, yeah. Arthur, it's your...
My turn.
Yeah, your turn.
I don't know. Just...
Say it.
Okay, guys. We love you. Our 21 followers. Just keep on following us. All right. I just can't say it.
What?
I don't know. I can't.
Oh, dear.
Is it a revolt?
It's a protest.
It's a protest. Okay.
www. Linguist. I'm telling you, I can't. About...
What else? Are we going to have the interview tomorrow, Asha?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I'm going to upload an interview with, what's his name again?
Sid Mead.
Sid Mead, yes. Sid Mead, which was, when did we, what, we wanted to upload it like a very long time ago.
Well, it was, I guess, it was in February.
It's February.
But it's never the date is never mentioned in the interview, so we can make it as a fresh piece of fresh piece for our 21 followers.
No one is going to listen to the end of this podcast, so shouldn't worry about it.
We can say any rubbish we want.
Yeah.
When you upload an interview with Seed, where will we upload to Seed? It's a pun.
Okay.
Applaud.
Oh yeah. We will definitely. He's a great man.
Yeah, although a bit weird,
yeah.
I must say, but he's talented, really. Mm. All right, and soon there will be a lot of interesting stuff going on. Mm. You guys keep on checking us, if not on Facebook, then on vk.com in our group, because Landish is on her way to St. Petersburg, and so is Daniil.
Yeah.
And we are going to have a great time together. We are planning to shoot a video about us and how great we are. And we are also planning to have a real-time English club in one of the St. Petersburg traditional cafes, which can also be great. So stay tuned, keep on checking us, mm-hmm. and we will keep you informed.
Mm-hmm. Great. Next week, we are going to record already from St. Petersburg.
Yeah, yay!
Starting from next week, I'm going to be annoying you almost every day.
I can't wait.
But yeah. Okay,
great. So, I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye.